Anyone who couldn't get tickets to the All-Star concert Rufus and Martha Wainwright staged at Town Hall in May of 2011 in memory of their mother, Kate McGarrigle, now have a second chance to see that moving performance. The concert was recorded by filmmaker Leanne Lunson, and it's the basis for a new documentary, Sing Me the Songs and Say I Love You, now being shown at Film Forum. With me today to talk about the film and about Kate McGarrigle's life and music are Leanne Lunson, the film's director and singer, songwriter, and composer, Rufus Wainwright.
Hi. Welcome.
Thank you.
And we want to say that that is Rufus singing I Cried For Us, a song written by your mother,
yes,
Kate McGarrigle, and that's part of the documentary.
Yeah.
I have to say, I saw it last night, and it is such a loving and moving tribute to your mom.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, no, that's a song my mom wrote called I Cried For Us, which I sing with the great Anthony of New York, from New York. And, there's so many amazing guests in this film and on this album because there's an album being released as well with the film. It's a full frontal attack of McGarrigle-ness. Whether it's Nora Jones or Jimmy Fallon or Emmylou Harris, there's a lot of great singers on this.
So those are all the singers that were in the stage version,
yes,
that was at Town Hall, and then this documentary. Were you planning to make a documentary of it?
It all happened very, very kind of organically, because I had worked with Leanne on her previous documentary about Leonard Cohen, I'm Your Man. That was a show that a bunch of us had done in Australia that I was a part of, and it was a great experience and also, you know, a really kind of seminal moment in my career and for a lot of people's career who were connected with that show. And so by the time, you know, this Kate tribute was coming around, you know, I knew we had done one earlier a couple of months after her death in London that was just so emotionally draining and so kind of it must have been amazing to watch, but it was also a crazy train wreck, mm-hmm, I think, for everybody. So I was happy we didn't film that one because it would have been more of a soap opera. But the next one was this show at Town Hall, and I knew that, you know, we'd kind of landed on our feet, but we were still really in the moment and in the sadness, and so I wanted to capture it.
And basically, this is going toward a foundation that your mother actually founded.
Yeah, the Kate McGarrigle Foundation, and it's to help raise money for sarcoma, which is a very rare form of cancer, and it's the one that unfortunately she got. To really promote her legacy and her songs, because I strongly believe that she was one of the great songwriters of her era, and is somewhat underappreciated, and anybody who comes in contact with that work is immediately privy to that. So I want people to know.
And Leanne, talk about the documentary itself. I mean, it's basically mostly this Town Hall performance, but then there's also amazing still images and some home movies and interviews.
Well, you know, when I was watching the performance at Town Hall, when I was shooting it, it struck me that it was very much like this Sing Irish play called Riders to the Sea. And it's really just about people keening for somebody that they have lost. And so that was in my mind as I put the film together. I think if people are expecting a documentary about Kate McGarrigle and her life, this is not that film. That film will probably get made one day. This is capturing this sort of sense of feeling and love for this person. So that's really what I focused on. You know, there's not a lot of information about Kate's life. This is really about the people that loved her and this incredible love that, you know, people were pouring out during that performance. And that's really what I focused on capturing.
And we have to say that basically your entire family is up there on stage.
Yeah.
And when you guys just open your mouths, it's like the angels are singing.
It's pretty cathartic and powerful. What happened? You know, Martha and I were very, very close to Kate, and especially my mother and I, we were the typical, you know, gay son, mom duo, and shopping and, you know, festivals and stuff in Venice. But so we had this real bond, and Martha had it as well. But I think it came a little bit later with her, and sadly. You know, it was really cut short because they were just. I mean, they always got along, but you know, as with I think often, which is often the case with mothers and daughters, it's a little more tricky as it is with fathers and sons. So with Martha especially in the movie, I feel like you get this real incredible sense of longing and reaching out, and also because Martha had just become a mother herself, she had just had her first child, and which was Kate's first grandchild, and it was all so it's very, very poignant.
The performance in there that you actually sing is singing about being the firstborn.
Yes, yes.
Son.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's I mean that kind of encapsulates the situation. I mean, my mom wrote this song "Firstborn," which is not so much about me per se, but it is about the phenomenon of the firstborn son and how they're, you know, lavished and praised and triumphant, but sometimes to their own detriment.
And you, when you shot this, you really captured this, you know, this family who you can, you see people perform on stage together all the time, but there's so much emotion. There was so much emotion on, you know, your faces, the tears. It was almost like listening to one person.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, I generally tend to shoot fairly close, and I like people to go to the film and have an experience like they were sitting in the second, third row of the concert, so that they can actually experience what that concert was like. So, you know, I don't cut a lot. That's very still. And I think that, you know, for me, shooting the concert was a very emotional experience. And certainly I wanted people to understand what that was like to be there, you know, to actually feel like they were sitting in the second or third row of that show.
And Rufus, did you select most of the material that was performed?
I mean, I had a hand in it, certainly, but it would have to be a democratic, you know, policy with because, you know, everybody has a lot of opinions in our family musically. So whether it was my Aunt Anna or my sister Martha, we were very, very thorough and really thought a lot about it and careful.
One of the things that the documentary definitely you got across is how musical this family is. I mean, growing up, I guess you were born in New York, but you were raised
in
Canada.
Yeah, I was raised in Montreal.
And there's this one amazing picture. There was a still shot of your mother holding you while she's on stage.
Yeah.
And there's like the microphone.
You're mistaken, actually. I
really?
Think that's Martha and her son. I know, it gets confusing. It gets confusing.
It moved by kind of quickly.
But we were, both Martha and I were, perhaps Martha was more thrust on stage than I was. I kind of went running insanely towards it. We had a lot of contact with show business at an early age.
But having all those family members around and just singing basically all the time.
Well, what's nice about it now is that you know, I think both Aunt Kate and Anna enjoyed doing it when we were young, though they by no means, you know, chained us up and, you know, made us tour or anything. Like, it was a very healthy dose, or not a huge dose, but, you know, just once a year or twice a year we'd go out on the road. It was always around. But I would say that now it's fantastic, and I think you capture this in the film, is that performing is now a way for us to get together and to see each other and to hang out as a family and to commune and so forth in this, you know, fast paced kind of cold planet.
there was one part of the film where you talk about when you were, I guess, a teenager, or your mother told you just how great show business was.
Yes.
After she finished writing a song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. My mom was a stage person through and through, and loved anything to do with performing and loved it in not so much like a egotistical way. I don't think she was necessarily into the attention, or she felt like she had to, you know, show off. She really loved the craft and the artistry of the stage and all the power that can really create when it's done beautifully.
Leanne, were you a Kate McGarrigle fan before signing on to this project?
You know, I have to say, I didn't know a lot about Kate's music at all. And so I sort of really learned about her music when I came to the film. And what I was struck by was this incredible songwriter and how a lot of people did not know who she was. And, you know, when I make films, I think it's a given that the fans of that person will come to that film or see it. I make the film for people who don't know her music and that will see the film and then go look her up and then listen to her own song. So I hope people will do that because, you know, it was a real experience for me as a woman filmmaker to see this incredible woman who had written these amazing songs, and I was open to it at the same time.
Yeah, and that's very important to me because as I've said before, I mean, I do think she is underappreciated. And I also think that because she didn't necessarily have the huge amount of success of a lot of her contemporaries, all of whom she knew, you know, whether it's like Bonnie Raitt or Joni Mitchell or those kind of people, she really focused on her life and wrote about what she was going through as a normal person and wrote about aging, wrote about having children, wrote about divorce, you know, and in this very non-commercial way, which at the time I think was very frustrating to her because like any artist, you know, you want to be successful and make money. But now that she's gone, it's this amazing capsule and very, very pure and very, very real.
Yeah, she was one of the important figures, I guess, in the Canadian folk music scene in the 1960s. But she had a great genre. She would record or sing all different types of music, right?
Yeah, I mean, she was a real purist. I mean, she loved field recordings and Pete Seeger and, Doc Watson and all country music as well. So she was very, very, they were very, very well known in England, probably mostly known in England. I mean, very respected in Canada, understood, but in England, when they hit in the early 70s, it was a huge deal.
Talk about kind of growing up like that. In the film, your sister talks about how when she realized her mother didn't have the same kind of job as everyone else on the block. But when did you realize that she had this talent?
Well, my favorite story as a kid growing up is we were in Montreal, and there was this woman, newscaster, Japanese woman, Mitsumi Takahashi, but she was on the news, and I saw her at the grocery store or something, and I said to my mom, I was like, "Mom, that's Mitsumi Takahashi from the news." And then my mom turned to me and said, "Honey, I'm much more famous than she is."
She also had a sense of humor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Even in the film, we hear from Jimmy Fallon. What's her connection with Jimmy Fallon?
Well, Jimmy's been a friend of the family for years, and you know, we're from that similar kind of North Country Irish stock of Shenanigan and the island of Shenanigan. And he's just, as much as he's a funny guy and a charming gent and awfully good looking, he's a really great and lovely person as well. And he is what he seems like in real life.
And a good singer.
And a very good singer, yeah.
He came out with a washboard, too.
Yeah.
Right? So he's got to do something funny. You had other people participate in this documentary as well. Want to talk about some of them?
Well, I wouldn't say the most important, but certainly the woman who has really stood by us through everything and was even, you know, came up to Montreal when my mother was dying and was in the room when she passed is, of course, the great Emmylou Harris. And they worked together a lot in the 80s. Kate and Anna wrote a lot of songs for her. And they always, you know, they hung out a lot. So she is sort of our patron Nashville saint or whatever. So she's in it. Also, my other aunt, Sloane Wainwright, from Katona, New York, who's Loudon's Wainwright's sister. She's fantastic in it. And there's Justin Vivian Bond, who's one of the great New York fixtures and personalities and intellectuals. Justin sings the Work song, which is amazing. God, there's tons. There's Nora Jones, who, of course, is always, everybody's always in love with.
Mm-hmm. And you did in the documentary, you do mention the end of your mother's life.
Yes.
and how music was still a part of that.
Yeah. No, the end is very touching, and I almost don't want to give it away.
Okay, let's not. I suggest we not, because
it's very, very beautiful, the end.
It's very beautiful. Talk about the process of making the film. Was it difficult to get all the archival footage and to put it together with the live concert stuff?
Yeah, I think that's always a challenge, because you really want to focus on the concert and the performances and include everybody. And you also have to... So for me, I really stuck with a feeling of love and sort of tried to mold everything around that. You know, I didn't have a lot of room for a lot more archival footage. You know, I had to make that choice. This is actually a concert film. It wasn't about the sort of a lot of the background. So, you know, I tried to choose the pieces of the archival material that went along with the feeling of the film.
And just personally for you, you've also worked on a lot of the films that you do are based on concerts and music, right?
Yeah, they do seem to be that way. and that's always a challenge when you have a concert, you know, to put the sort of background behind it. But, you know, you just have to work organically, which I do.
And I think in this day and age, it's a challenge, and it's also very, very brave to work in that medium with concert films, because it's certainly... Whatever, in this day of film and TV and HBO and everything, it's hard to, it's hard to figure out what to do with these films.
I try to shoot my films in a pure form, you know, so that I'm a big fan of the films of the 70s where they shot these concert films, felt like you were there. You know, they didn't have a lot of the equipment that they have today, so I keep it very minimal and really want to give people an experience of actually being at a concert.
I just want to mention again where you can see this documentary. It's at Film Forum through July 9th. It's called Sing the Songs That Say I Love You.
Sing Me the Songs
Say
I Love You.
You do it?
Sing Me the Songs That Say I Love You.
At Film Forum through July 9th. Also, you were at BAM last night. Talk about that.
Yeah, no, we did a great show last night at BAM to both, you know, inaugurate this Film Forum run. And also, there's an amazing album called Sing Me the Songs, put out by Nonesuch. Which includes all the songs from the film and many, many others. It's a 2-CD set with a lot of other guests, too. And that was to raise money for the Kate McGarrigle Fund, as I said earlier, which raises money to try to cure sarcoma.
And would you say a lot of the songs that are on there are not your mother's most famous ones, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're most... Anna actually wrote the most famous Kate and Anna McGarrigle song, which is, of course, Heart Like a Wheel, which Linda Ronstadt had a hit with in the 70s and so forth. But kind of digging around, a lot of the songs were demos that we used. A lot of them were so some of them weren't released. But then again, you know, there's a lot to discover musically. So do go see the film.
And the film is called Sing Me the Songs That Say I Love You, a concert for Kate McGarrigle. It's being shown at Film Forum, and that you can go there. It's 209 West Houston Street, now through July 9th. I'd like to thank you both for coming, Rufus Wainwright.
Thank you.
Leanne, thank you so much for joining us on WNYC today. We're going out with your mother singing.
Yes.
This is a fabulous performance. I just want to make it last.
Find a cozy parking spot in some laid-back galaxy. Keep the engine running for at least a century. Attention, Universe Patrol, start handing out the fines. We're passing every meteor. No planet left behind. So make the Earth slow down a bit. We're going.